Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Welcome to the SJP Wrestling Podcast. This is episode 33, and I want to say thank you very, very much to everyone for taking the time to listen. On today's episode, we have a brilliant discussion with Miss Aluna Blue, who has come through the Evolution Wrestling Training Academy in Gloucester, has had a couple of main roster matches, and it's a really, really interesting and quite unique tale. I really, really enjoyed this interview. I'll be honest, it's fast become one of my favourite interviews I've done. Miss Blue has, as I said, quite a unique story with regards to intergender wrestling, training as the only lady at the academy for a certain period, and her initial start in her training process being hidden from her parents. Again, it's a really unique and interesting tale. Aluna was an absolute joy to talk to. I had a great time, and I hope you really enjoy listening to this chat also. Before we get to that, though, I just want to say a big, big thank you to everyone who has took the time to listen to my other show, which is Chain Wrestling, that I host with my good buddy Mags. The show is getting better and better, the more confident and the more relaxed we are getting, and the more we sort of find our feet with the format. It's great fun to record. I'm told by several people it's great fun to listen to. So if you haven't already, please give that a try. You can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at @chain_wrestling. And it's a bit more of a sort of lighthearted, poking a bit of fun at some of the silliness of the wrestling business in general. It's available on all good podcast platforms and probably some rubbish ones too. Okay, thanks again very, very much for pressing the play button today. And we'll get straight to now our discussion with Miss Aluna Blue. Thank you for listening.
Hello, brother. This is NWA WCW Enhancement Talent Randy Hogan, baby. Being in the ring with the Road Warriors, Vader, Abdul the Butcher, Midnight Express and all them guys, let me tell you, it was dang rough. But not as rough as listening to Cyan Mags on that Chain Wrestling show, brother. What you gonna do when this pair of fools, Cyan Mags and Chain Wrestling, brother, runs wild on you?
Miss Aluna Blue, welcome to the SJP Wrestling Podcast. I'm over the moon to be speaking with you today. How are we doing?
Thank you very much. I'd like to kind of start firstly by saying thank you very much for having me on your podcast. I know the guys from Evolution have had real fun doing them with you and sort of sharing their training stories. So yeah, thank you very much for having me on your podcast. But in terms of me, I'm doing fine, thank you. Just kind of carrying on as normal, really, like I guess most people are at the moment.
Yeah, it's very much, well, for a lot of people I speak to, and for myself, it's very much, I suppose, Groundhog Day is the term, isn't it? Every day seems to be the same. There's, you know, still a little bit of context time-wise for anybody listening. As Aluna and I are recording today, we're still in a lockdown, but it looks like we're heading in the right direction. We're hopefully coming out soon, but it's been a long old trek, hasn't it? It's not been a fun time, really.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Okay, I mean, I suppose as I normally do, the natural thing is to start at the very beginning. Whereabouts exactly did you discover wrestling? When did you first, so I suppose, when did it first catch your eye?
So I think for me, I have a possibly a slightly different story to the rest of the trainees from Evolution about when I kind of got into wrestling. So when I was growing up, kind of childhood and into my teenage years, wrestling was not a thing in my house at all growing up. We had kind of no connection to it as a family. And I've got a younger sister and we just watched kind of other TV shows and we had other hobbies. Like it just wasn't anything that was, mentioned at all growing up. So I'm kind of a late bloomer to wrestling, if you will.
Okay. I mean, that again, I find that very interesting because there is so many people who say, oh, well, my granddad used to watch it and I caught it when I was a kid. I mean, that's very much how I started. It was on at my granddad's house when and that's how I sort of first discovered it when I was very little. And there's so many people who say my parents watched or my big brother or so on. But you said you had no interaction or inkling about wrestling at all then. So, but you had other hobbies. What was it that you that did interest you growing up?
So I guess growing up, I've always been into motorbikes. So my dad's got some motorbikes and I've always kind of tinkered around with them kind of in his workshop and things. And I'm also a massive football fan outside of wrestling. In fact, I'm probably a bit of a football nerd, to be honest. Those were kind of my hobbies growing up. I've never played football, but I've always kind of really been into it. And I support my local team as well. So I go to all the, in normal times, I go to all of the kind of home and away matches. And I think I know my nan used to talk quite a bit. In fact, she still does talk quite a bit about like the town hall wrestling with the characters like Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. And that's kind of what I get most of the time now when I tell new people that I'm a trainee wrestler. And I guess that shows like so many people did really enjoy that as entertainment and it's like their hobbies kind of back in the day. And I guess I can make some comparisons for me personally as to why I kind of like, I guess my preference is live wrestling rather than kind of WWE or watching it on TV. And I can make some kind of, yeah, I think I can guess why I like the live wrestling is because I'm such a massive football fan, is that watching WWE for me is kind of like watching a Premier League side or a Premier League match. Like I appreciate the really big crowds and the atmosphere. But I wouldn't necessarily be able to like meet a Premier League player after the game, or I might, you know, I wouldn't see them like in my local supermarket. But following like local football and following local wrestling promotions and you know, smaller promotions, you know, I see my local football players in my supermarket. And, you know, when I'm at local wrestling shows, I see the, you know, the wrestlers, they could be stood behind watching, you know, the main event after their matches. And I think you kind of feel a bit closer to kind of local wrestling promotions. Or I certainly do anyway, and I feel more involved. So I think my love of wrestling actually came from live wrestling shows.
Okay, yeah, I understand. I mean, that's fantastic. From I suppose a similarity viewpoint to my youngest daughter, I guess she used to watch a bit of WWE, but it was very hit and miss what she was into. She watched a little bit of New Japan and kind of fell in love with that, oddly. I wouldn't necessarily describe that product as something that at the time she was only seven, I think. So that surprised me that she got into that. But taking her along to her first Evolution show was kind of what triggered her fandom from the live show standpoint, and then the whole meet and greet afterwards and get her poster signed and so on is kind of similar to what you say, I guess, with regards to the live football and the live wrestling events in that sort of interaction at that level kickstarted her fandom as well, I think.
That's really lovely. Kind of similar to your daughter, like my first live wrestling show was an Evolution show. It was at my local community centre, and a good friend of mine said, you know, should we go and watch it? And I've seen photos of me in the crowd as a fan, probably sort of 2016-ish, at the my first Evolution live show. And I remember our trainer, Leo Jones, and one half of GL2, Rye Stevens, previously when he was in the Fever, being on that show, as well as Sid Scala. And he, but at that point, he was his like Savvy Sid character, and he had a flat cap, and he came out on like a kid's scooter. And I just thought, this is absolutely bonkers. I've never seen anything like that before. And there was a women's match. There was Dominika versus Chardonnay. And I fell in love with the costumes and the crazy moves and the characters. And the crowd were like booing the heels and cheering the faces. And the kids kind of sat all around the ring. You know, they were just in absolute awe. They were just sat on the floor, like staring up at the ring and you know, really getting involved. That was absolutely lovely. And I remember watching that show, and I was sat there and I thought, I've just got to give this a go. Like, this is so cool. And I messaged Sid Scala after the show. And I asked him how to get into wrestling training, because I had absolutely no idea. Like I said before, I had no kind of connection to wrestling, kind of previous to this point. And he very kindly replied to me and said, you know, get yourself down to your local training school. Which sounds pretty obvious, I know, but I genuinely didn't have a clue how to get into it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you had no idea that
exactly,
these things existed, you weren't to know, were you? So
no, definitely not. And then I thought, right, I'm going to do this. And then I left it a few weeks, and then weeks turned into months, and then I think the months turned into like a good year and a bit, because I just started my apprenticeship, and that became a massive part of my life. And I sort of put kind of the thought of learning to be a wrestling trainee on the shelf for a bit. Left it a good year and a bit. And during that time, I visited other UK promotions, and I'd seen kind of people like Millie McKenzie on the shows.
Okay.
And it was probably it would have been early 2018. I messaged Millie, because I'd seen her at a previous show, and I think I'd met her as well. And I asked the same thing. I said, how do I get into wrestling? Perhaps thinking, you know, she might give me a different kind of opinion on, you know, how Sid got into wrestling. Mm-hmm. And hers was exactly the same. She said, get yourself down to your local training school. So I did a little bit of Googling, that's how I found Evolution. And my tagline for my message to Rob, so Rob being the owner of Evolution, I messaged him and I said, am I too old to learn to wrestle? Right. And I was 22 at the time. But again, I had no idea.
Of course.
And I do apologize to my good friend, Mr. Simon Quest, because I know he started training with us when he was like 34, 35.
Yeah, he was on the show a few weeks
ago. And
there's
absolutely nothing wrong with that. Yes, I listened to that chat with him. You're not too old to learn. I answered my own question, really. And Rob was, you know, really kind and said, get yourself down to the training hall, bring like a clean pair of trainers and some comfy clothes, and kind of go to the training hall that weekend. And that was it. I'd committed myself to kind of go in and train in, but I didn't tell anybody. I kept it a secret for quite a long time.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, going back to that, the first show then, the Evolution show you saw with your friend, was that literally your first interaction in any way with wrestling at all? Had you caught anything on the television or?
So I had seen a bit of WWE up to that point. I feel quite bad because I haven't ever really seen any of like the old school classic matches or pay-per-views, which is embarrassing for me to say. I know it is.
Not at all. I mean, again, you know what you know, don't you? That's the thing. It's
definitely. That's kind of, that was pretty much my first interaction. I had watched the WrestleMania, which was Triple H and Roman Reigns, I think WrestleMania 32, possibly. Okay. And yeah, so that was kind of the when I started watching it on TV, but it wasn't very regular. The main kind of thing was the live shows for me.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you've gone to this show literally just at the, on a whim, I guess. A friend just saying, "Oh, do you fancy it?" And you've popped along. You've enjoyed it. You've spoken to a few people about getting into training and so on. And then yes. You mentioned that you've got started going along to the training sessions, but you've not told anyone. Why exactly was that? That you didn't tell anybody? Was it literally nobody at all? Was the only person who was aware was you?
So I told my really good friend who we'd been to the show together, the Evolution okay. show. I'd spoken to them about it, and we'd been to kind of other shows up until that point. I guess I didn't tell anybody because we were so, like, as a family and all of my friends and everything, we were so, like, far away from wrestling. We didn't know anything about it. And if I'm completely honest, which I know is quite bad to say, but I thought people would laugh at me because...
Oh, no, 100% understand. I know exactly where you're coming from.
I really did. You know, because unfortunately, if you're not into wrestling, it does have, or it can have, kind of not as a professional kind of appearance as it does have if you are in in as a wrestling fan. So yeah, I did. I thought people would laugh at me, and that's why I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, no, I fully understand. I mean, being a wrestling fan, I'm a touch older than yourself, and well, I say a touch, quite a bit older than yourself. And then again, I reference my I reference my youngest as well. So I suppose we've got a sort of a gap of several decades there in ages between the three of us. It is something that I believe has always had this kind of weird stigma attached to it, in that I suppose I don't know if it's the right term, but it maybe fits. Like, I suppose maybe guilty pleasure, I suppose, potentially, or something along those lines, where when I was growing up, I only had select friends I could talk wrestling to, and they were in the same boat as me. And if somebody came over to where we were sitting at school when we were kids and we were talking wrestling, we changed the subject because we didn't want them to know that we liked that wrestling stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my daughter, literally this week, we were, what was it? The Revolution pay-per-view. So what was that, a week or two ago, potentially? Mm-hmm. I picked her up from school, and very, very bad timing for her, I guess. She's been off for months because of lockdown. The day she's made to go back is the day after a Revolution pay-per-view, so she couldn't stay up and watch it live. So, all that time off, and it's so we watched it... after she'd finished school that day. And as I was walking back, I said, "Do you know any results? Or do you know anything that happened?" Yeah. Because when I was at school, sort of in the early 90s, some people would say, "Oh yeah, I know this happened at such and such an event or something." So I wanted to see her, and she's like, "Oh no, none of my friends know I like wrestling." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Why is that? Are you embarrassed?" And she's like, she wouldn't really sort of answer directly. So I suppose it's still a stigma, or still a thing going on even now to my daughter, who's in junior school, experiencing the same sort of feelings, I guess.
I do understand that. I get that.
It's very strange. I mean, and then you see these,
it shouldn't be the case.
No, it shouldn't. Now I'm of an age now where, you know, pardon my language, I don't give a shit. I don't care who knows now. And my dad, bless him, my whole life he's mocked me for my wrestling fandom. My old Hasbro 1990 Hulk Hogan figures and Legion of Doom figures, they weren't action figures to him, they were dolls, you know, and all this sort of stuff. Okay. So, but he did it very, he wasn't like, you know, bullying me or anything like that. He did it very tongue in cheek just to get a reaction. And it's very much that sort of thing. It's been as long as I can remember, but now it's a case of I just don't care. But I'm at an age now where I suppose I shouldn't care, I guess. And I look back on my little girl now, And I kind of want to say to her, it doesn't matter, I like what you like. But it's very different when you're that age, isn't it? Because, well, kids are mean, I suppose. So yeah. If you like something different, sometimes people sort of point the finger, I guess, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with that. And it's such a shame because it is a completely, you know, crazy world of pro wrestling. But it isn't something that, you know, many kids who, if you haven't got any, like you said, if you haven't got any friends that are into it, it may come across as being something that they don't really want to talk about, which it is a shame.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, again, I keep bringing her up and using her as an example. My youngest, like, she literally has no friends who are into wrestling that she's aware mm-hmm. of. There may be some that are in the same boat as her. Her best friend may be a big fan. She just might not know because they don't bring it up. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of that, from a selfish standpoint, it's kind of nice for me because it's our thing. Yeah. If you know what I mean? It's
good. No, that's what lovely. We kind of, that's you know. Really nice.
Okay, so I mean, you say there you sort of ended up starting with Evolution, mm-hmm. the academy, the school there. How I've got certain questions that I kind of run through the majority of people who I have on the show because okay. it's very similar. Everyone's story is different, but there's certain points I like to check up and sort of hear from the people involved because I find these moments fascinating to me in the story that people have, and one of them is the first session you attended and the nerves, I suppose. I mean, I always picture the nerves for me in any situation, whether it's my first day at a new job or a job interview or anything like that. Walking to the door is the most nervous I get. So that's sort of the sort of image I have in my head, if that makes sense. I mean, how was that first session with regards to nerves and how did the first session go?
So I think walking through the industrial estate and up the steps to the academy, I was really nervous. I hadn't really done anything sort of sporty in this way before. And I think for me, like you said, it's fear of the unknown, like what is through that door. And I'd started on my own as well. So I know a couple of the guys at the academy kind of brought buddies with them or you know, they came with other people. Whereas I started completely on my own. But I was excited and I thought to myself, if I didn't try, I wouldn't know. And I'd always be wondering kind of, you know, what if I had started? I was nervous. But when I went in, I was greeted by like the friendliest group of guys. I realised I was the only woman the training school at that point. But outside of wrestling, I work with mainly men. So I thought, right, this is fine. Like, I can totally do this. every single one of the guys introduced themselves, whether that be like a fist bump or a handshake. And I think that's the good thing about Evolution and maybe other training schools as well, is that everybody always greets each other and says goodbye at the beginning, at the end of every session, whether that be like with a fist bump or with me, it's normally a hug. And if we've got a guest trainer or if Rob or Liam are in the office, we do the same thing. It's like a fist bump or a hug. And it's kind of a sign of respect and kindness, I think. We're often referred to as the Evolution family. And I think it's important that we make everybody feel included. And that's certainly how I felt straight away.
See, that's brilliant. I don't think I would have the guts to do something like that. I can imagine myself at a younger age. If I was in that scenario, that you just described there, walking across the car park, going up the steps on my own, without a friend with me or without going into a room where I might know somebody, I know for a fact in my early 20s, I wouldn't have made it across the car park. I would have turned around and gone home. I'd have bottled it. Yeah. So that to me that shows a great level of bravery and so on. And the attitude of... No problem. And the attitude you have of, well, if I don't try it, I'll never know, is brilliant. I mean, it's something I wish loads of other people, and especially my kids as well, could sort of take on board. Because I think it's something that when you're older and you look back on certain scenarios, you miss out a lot on life for worrying about mm-hmm. things that you don't necessarily need to worry about, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Okay, I mean, so with regards to the first session then, what exactly were you doing with your very first, well, literally the very first few minutes of your very first session. How did the first training session go? And I suppose, again, one of the sort of standard questions I go through, your very first proper bump, how was all that?
So when I first started, and obviously in my first session, Rob had already mentioned to me when I messaged him about having a kind of training session, is that the more kind of experienced guys were away on the holiday camp shows. So every okay. year, in sort of normal circumstances, Evolution go to kind of various holiday camps around the UK and put on shows. So we were kind of quite small in numbers for my first few weeks. And we had a large training ring set up and a smaller training ring. Now we've just got the one large ring set up. And my trainers for the first couple of weeks while these holiday camps were going on were Logan Blackmore and the other half of GL2, Eric Myers. And it became kind of quite apparent quickly that we've now got this imaginary book of something that we call Logieisms. So Logie being short for Logan Blackmore.
Okay.
And these are kind of little tips and tricks that Logan says to kind of help you with your training. So anything to do with kind of safety or something that could make a move maybe a little bit kind of more bearable or easier to remember how to do. And some of my favorites are where your head goes, your body will follow. and that's particularly helpful for taking flip bumps. And then the second one, which he taught me when I was learning to bump, was slap the mat like it owes you money. So this is, it was things like that that made it kind of really fun. And they both taught me how to bump in stages from kind of crouching at the different rope levels, because bumping from your own height, like falling backwards from your own height, it's really scary. I certainly found it really scary.
Sorry, it's a completely unnatural thing to do, isn't it?
Yes,
it goes against everything really that you know in life, I suppose.
Yes, yeah, it is. It is really unnatural to fall backwards from your own height. And you know, they taught me how to do it on crash mats to start with, and then as soon as they, you know, we took the crash mats away, and I did my first kind of proper bump on the ring canvas, I didn't breathe out, which was not fun. I wouldn't recommend.
Okay, so breathing out is something you're told to do when you hit the mat then?
Yes, yeah, it stops you kind of getting winded, and it, you know, it can kind of completely knock the air out of you if you don't breathe out kind of at the right time. And I didn't do that, and it did hurt, but the guys were really patient with me, and they encouraged me to kind of keep trying with it and not to give up with it. And they offered me different ways of kind of remembering all the little tips and tricks. And that was the same with kind of rope running, and you know, headlocks, wrist locks, the first sort of kind of moves and holds that I learned. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I stayed and why I went back the following week, was because the patience and the willingness to learn to help me improve was absolutely second to none. It was brilliant. And that's still the same now. It's still like that now.
And that's fantastic to hear as well, isn't it? That not only are you going along and it's a good friendly atmosphere, but I suppose the dedication to actually teaching rather than just, you know, people meeting up is so important, because that's what people are there to do, I guess. They're there to learn. Exactly. So that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm actually, funnily enough, speaking to Logan Blackmore over the weekend for the show.
Oh, brilliant.
So I'll mention a couple of these little comments of these Loganisms to him and see what he says, I think.
Oh, he'll love it. He'll be chuffed a bit.
brilliant
yeah,
stuff.
And I think he will. He'll really love that. And then I think because obviously I said earlier that nobody knew that I was kind of training. And this after my kind of first few sessions, this is when my parents started to find out, because a few weeks later, when the holiday camp shows had ended, I met Rob and Liam. They'd come back to the training hall, and they were both so welcoming. They genuinely were so welcoming. And we had Joel Redman as a guest trainer, and Joel's session was absolutely brilliant. Like, I really thanked Joel for his time, because I learned so much in the session with him. And we've been really lucky at the academy, because we've had lots of different guest trainers over the time that I've been there, and I've been with Evolution now for nearly 3 years. It'll be 3 years in August. And we've had Tyson T-Bone, we've had James Mason, Foxy Key and Kelly, UK Dominator. Like, we've been so lucky to have all of these incredible people come and train with us. And the next few days after Joel's session, I felt like I'd been hit by a bus. And I'm not trying to put anybody off. Like, everybody reacts differently to, you know, like, the level of physical training. But it was just because I was not used to that level of training. And my parents still didn't know at this point. And to kind of give a little bit of context, this was Joel's session was sort of my week 4 or 5, I think.
Okay.
And my parents found out probably about 2 weeks later, because my dad found my knee pads. That was it. My dad found my knee pads that I've been taking in my kit bag, or the bag I've been using to kind of take my shoes in and things. So I've managed to hide, like, all of the aches and pains that I had from the training. And that's how they found out, was because they found my knee pads. And I sort of had to explain to them that, you know, it was kind of sports entertainment wrestling as opposed to kind of Olympic mat style wrestling. Mm. And my dad thought it was absolutely, well, both my parents thought I was absolutely nuts. but my dad is actually really into it now. So my mum really enjoys coming to watch the shows, and she comes and watches the academy shows, and she knows kind of some of the other guys now as well, which is really nice. But my dad is really into it. He comes to the Evolution shows, and he watches NXT UK with me. And I think for him, it's kind of in a similar way to me and my sort of football analogy, is that, you know, he could watch Wild Boar on NXT UK, or, you know, one of the other wrestlers that are on NXT UK. And then in normal times, he could come to one of our shows and see Wild Boar or another wrestler on the show as well. And I think he really likes that side of things.
Yeah, I can understand. I can't let that go by without touching on it, though. So you've gone several weeks of going to these training sessions once, mm-hmm. or potentially twice a week, I think. There's the midweek, yeah. ones as well at some stage, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And your parents are unaware.
Yes, you've got unaware.
You've basically come back battered on occasion after a Joel Redman session. How does that conversation go when your knee pads are found? I can't quite picture that in my head. Is it a case of, okay, what are these? What are you up to? Or how does that conversation go?
To be honest, it started and ended quite quickly. Like, I think because my dad's quite into skateboarding. So
okay.
He just assumed straight away that was something I wanted to get into. Which I would be horrendous at. I would be rubbish at skateboarding. So I kind of had to, I had to explain that no, it wasn't for skateboarding, and that it was in fact for wrestling training. As soon as I kind of explained that, you know, all of the guys were brilliant, and that I was the only woman, and that, you know, all of the guys had been really kind to me, and, you know, really kind of put safety first and made me feel really included. That, yeah, both of them were, because they still think I'm completely nuts, but they both were really, really kind of almost proud, I think, in a way, that I was doing something that is, you know, a little bit different than what maybe other people would do as their hobbies.
No, I understand. I understand. I think that's brilliant. That's absolutely fantastic. you mentioned there then that you're then having matches on the academy shows, which mm-hmm. the ones that I'm aware of are sort of earlier in the day to when, say, Wootton Hall, a venue that Evolution Wrestling runs quite often in Gloucester, they run a show in the evening. The Academy shows, as far as I'm aware, tend to be earlier in the day from the same venue. You say you're working matches on these shows by this stage, and as far as I'm aware, you're still the only lady with the Academy, aren't you, at this point?
So my first Academy show was Boxing Day 2018, and that was 4 months after I'd started training. And there are some people that have a much quicker transition onto shows, but the 4 months was a nice time for me to kind of find my feet and kind of get the confidence to go and do an Academy show. And my first Academy match was against Joshua Goodwin of the Heritage City Hitmen. Yep. And I was so nervous being backstage before the show. I was really nervous. But as soon as my music hit, you have that point where you know you have to go out because your music's now playing. And I tried to enjoy it as much as possible, and I had so much fun with it. And I think when I went out and I did my entrance, Joshua in the ring said to me, he said something like, in a real kind of Healy way, he said something like, "Make me a sandwich." It was something like that, which, as you can probably imagine him doing, which kind of made the crowd like really react to that. They didn't like that, which was obviously good for a crowd reaction kind of standpoint. And I slapped him across the face for saying that to me.
Brilliant.
And the crowd just, they loved it. Like, the reaction was brilliant. So we did the match, and I won that match, and I think I won it with a fisherman's suplex. And I went backstage after the match with Joshua, and I hugged him and I said, "Thank you so much." And I just wanted to go and just do it all over again, really. I just loved it. I fell in love with it instantly. And I've since been in a decent number of intergender Academy matches, kind of singles, tag matches, like Rumble, Battle Royales, being the only female. And by doing that, I've realised that I absolutely love being part of intergender matches. I love that the audience perhaps to get to see something kind of a little bit different, something that they wouldn't normally see. And I know that intergender wrestling is not a new concept by any means, but it's what I've been used to, as I'd imagine quite a few other female wrestlers have been used to. And it's something that I would absolutely love to continue with, because I do love intergender wrestling. But we now have another female trainee in the Academy. So we've got Audrey Charleston, and you kindly commentated on our recent Next Gen YouTube match with your podcast partner. Was Audrey's. Thank you for your commentary on that, by the way. It was great. I really enjoyed listening.
Honestly, when the match is that good, it's easy. So.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you. I know that will mean a lot to Audrey as well, because that was her debut wrestling match. And I really enjoyed it. It was great. And I really enjoyed it because it was something different to me, because I was suddenly in a match with another woman, which is something that hadn't happened before. And I was also then, I guess, kind of the more experienced wrestler in the match as well. I must say, as kind of a side, if you haven't watched Audrey's walkout or her entrance, you must go and watch it. Like, it is so sassy.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you wouldn't know that this is her first. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I had no idea until literally this second night that this was her first match. I watched the match a couple of times now. So I tried, when I was adding commentary to the Evolution shows, I tried to watch them as live, I guess. I didn't want to watch them, so I was sort of preempting what I was seeing. So I watched them then, and then I'd watch them back again afterwards, thinking, oh, is there anything I want to change? And eventually I'd say, no, I'm not going to change anything, because that sort of potentially makes it, I suppose, a bit more staged as opposed to me reacting to what I was seeing. And then when it came out with the commentary added properly on the Evolution Wrestling social media pages, I watched it again. And at no stage in those three occasions watching that match would I have said, okay, this is her first effort. It was absolutely superb. She came out and she came to the ring first, for those who haven't seen it. And it is all over the Evolution Wrestling Facebook page and so on. Please seek it out. There's some brilliant matches recorded on there. And this is one of them. She comes to the ring and just oozes confidence, looks fantastic. In ring as well, I thought the two of you put on a great match. It was brilliant. I mean, to think that this is her first match of any type, and theoretically as well, I suppose, going by what you've told me, one of the very few occasions you've actually worked with another lady, as opposed to being, to use your words, the less experienced competitor in the ring with some of the male trainees. It's totally unnoticeable watching from my viewpoint. I mean, it's a testament to how talented you two ladies really are. It was brilliant.
Thank you. That really does mean a lot. I appreciate that. And I think from my first Academy show and kind of moving forward with the Academy matches and into kind of my first main show, I picked up massively improved confidence. And I now kind of have a little kind of saying to myself where I think if I can go out in front of a crowd of people in basically a bikini, wearing, you know, kind of a sparkly outfit and doing a walkout to the ring, if I can do that and I can wrestle in front of a crowd, I can do anything. That's kind of my outlook on life at the moment.
Fair enough. I mean, let's talk about that then. I mean, it is something that I mentioned before I pressed the little red button here to start recording. It is something that I mentioned to you that I'd like to cover. The Aluna Blue character, for want of a better term, the look, and yeah, again, the characteristics of the person you are when you're out in the ring. Talk me through that. How did you decide upon the name? How did you decide upon even something as simple as entrance music or anything like that? How did you decide upon what you wanted to be after training for the amount of time you did?
Mm-hmm. So I think to start with, when you're kind of developing a wrestling kind of character or a name or a colour scheme, anything like that, it is for me, it was more difficult than I thought, because there are so many kind of, you know, incredible wrestlers out there that all have their own character. So to try and find something or choose something that is different to that is, you know, it is quite difficult. And obviously, lots of people take inspiration from other wrestlers for their character or their name. But that wasn't necessarily the case for me. I was thinking for weeks and weeks and weeks what my kind of name was, what my character was going to be. It took me such a long time. And I was talking to my mum about it, actually. And we were just having a chat about kind of name ideas. And my mum's a teacher. She's quite kind of creative. And she just came out with it, like a complete lit, almost out of the blue. She came out with it when we were talking, and Aluna Blue just kind of stuck, really. So it wasn't anything particularly fancy. It took a long time to get there because I was so kind of nervous about, you know, people feeling I was completely copying somebody else. And I didn't want that. So, yeah, it was my mum that came up with the name.
That's brilliant. I mean, considering you say that your mum had no real interest in wrestling prior to you starting, the fact that she's come out with the name and a name that really does stand out is something on a poster
you
would notice, you know, it does the purpose, I guess. That's fantastic that it's come from your mum when she had no real inkling about wrestling beforehand.
No, exactly. I know. It was, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you mentioned it earlier about the intergender side of things, the intergender wrestling. Mm-hmm. The first time I saw you work properly was on a main show at Evolution Wrestling in Wootton Hall. I was aware of you previous because I'd seen pictures and so on with different people from Evolution that I'm in contact with from from Facebook and Twitter and matches and the Evolution social media itself showing pictures from Academy shows. So again, it stands out, the gimmick, the name, the fact that obviously, you know, you're a lady on a show that was at the time very male dominated, that obviously stood out, the blue lipstick, everything. So that, that very much, very much, you know, it stands out. However, I've not actually seen you work until your first match on the main roster, which was against somebody who we had on the show many, many weeks ago now, Sean Cage, who came on and spoke to us about his career. And we actually discussed this match when he was on. And the thing that really stood out for me was, obviously, there's the intergender side of things, but also there was the size difference. Because as you mentioned previously, you said you were 5'2", I think you said, is that correct? Or 5'3"?
Yeah, 5'2", 5'3", I'm tiny. Yeah.
And Sean's a big old chap, isn't he? Let's be honest.
He's a lot bigger than I am.
Exactly. And the main sort of theme that we had when I was talking to Sean on the show a few weeks back was that my mum came to that show with me, and she's not been to wrestling shows before. Obviously, I have my wife there who comes to the shows with me, and my daughters. First of all, my youngest daughter, especially the more wrestling mad one, was absolutely obsessed seeing you there, thinking it was fantastic because there was a girl on the show. She'd seen Chardonnay at one of her very first shows that that my daughter went to, but she's now stepped away from wrestling, so she hasn't seen her since. She's seen Giselle Shaw a couple of times on the Evolution shows, but seeing you resonated with her stronger, I guess. It resonated more strongly with her. I don't know if it was because, again, please don't take this as me trying to poke fun, but you're probably closer to her size. You said yourself.
I'll take that, definitely.
So when we saw you face off against Sean, this big lump, this big monster of a man, there were moments where, I'm not gonna lie, I sat there looking at my little girl and sort of looking at my mum and thinking, okay, is this getting a bit uncomfortable for them now? Because you took some incredible bumps in that match. I mean, talk me through that. I mean, it's your main roster debut, so the crowd is different, obviously. So I don't know if there was another spell of nerves there. And then talk me through the match itself, the whole process of making your first main roster appearance.
Okay. Yeah, that was my first main show, and we were at Wootton Hall in Gloucester, which is kind of our home hall. And the crowd was probably sort of 200 plus. It was completely sold out. And there were, you know, truly incredible talent on that card. You know, we had Team Outrageous, we had GL2, Beano, Giselle, Jay Joshua, Yestin was on the card. Like, for me, as, you know, somebody that is, I still class myself as being relatively new to this, so to have all of those amazing people backstage with me was incredible. And it was a show where all of the titles were on the line, and the Academy belt was also on the line for that show. Sean Cage was my opponent for the show. And I was so nervous backstage because it was a much bigger crowd to what I'd been used to at an Academy show, but everybody was really encouraging backstage, which was lovely. And like you said, during the match, I took some big bumps. I took kind of a pop-up powerbomb. I took some slams. And I don't mind taking those sorts of bumps. That's why we train, to learn to take those sorts of bumps safely. But the bump that I took from a massive release German suplex, it's slightly infamous in the Academy, but I'm not proud of that bump by any means. Like, it was a very elbowy bump. But I didn't realise at the time, until I watched it back, how far I actually flew across the ring and the height that we got on that as well.
I was going to ask you about it, actually.
Yeah.
It stands out very much in my mind, yeah.
Yeah, I expected to land a lot sooner than I did. And that move for me was almost in slow motion. I was thinking, why haven't I landed yet? And that's why the bump did kind of look a little bit awkward. I mean, I was completely fine after it, but it, you know, it is it's why it looked a little bit awkward, was because I thought I was going to land a lot sooner than I did. And yeah, the match went on, and like you say, you know, I took some kind of uncomfortable bumps, and unfortunately, yeah, Sean Cage retained the Academy belt. And that match did have mixed results. Some people really liked it because it was different. You know, intergender wrestling matches are different for some people. Some people may not have seen them before. And the Academy belt was on the main show, which was really cool. That doesn't necessarily happen that often. So that was really cool. My mum enjoyed it because I was in the match, but I think that was probably about it, to be honest. She also found it very uncomfortable to watch because I was being like thrown around by somebody who is much bigger and much more powerful than I am. But I do have absolute massive respect for Sean Cage and for any of the other guys in the Academy who are, you know, more than happy to wrestle either myself or Audrey, because it is different to two guys wrestling together or tagging together. And, you know, we do have to be mindful that Evolution is a family-friendly promotion. So I think there is kind of that fine line between, you know, yes, it is entertainment, but we've still got to be, you know, safe about it. But yes, that crowd reacted to that match, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing that I took away from it, to be honest, and I mean, I've watched a lot of wrestling in my life. I would watch virtually anything at all. I'm kind of obsessive in that way. So it's difficult for me to kind of sometimes be as subjective or as I should be, because I've kind of got stuff already in my head. I'm a fan of X amount of years and so on. So again, I look at my mum and my daughter as sometimes a bit of a gauge to where I suppose newer fans or less, I don't know how to word it, less experienced is probably not the right term, but they've seen less, I guess.
Yeah,
so I mean, it was at the beginning, again, some of the bumps you took and so on, the size difference and the obvious power difference as well. Okay, there were a few moments where you were sat there thinking, oh, struth, and it did feel a bit uncomfortable. But at the same time, to me, it went into the excellent storytelling of the match, because when you had your attempted comebacks or the eventual comeback, and I think you got a bigger reaction from the crowd watching because of what had gone on before those moments, if that makes sense. My mum and my daughter, for a start, were both sat there going "Ooh," and wincing when you were getting thrown around. But then when you had your sort of the moments where you fired back or you sort of you had your sort of comeback moments, because they'd seen those moments and bumps beforehand that made them wince a bit, they were even more behind you, I think. So from a storytelling standpoint, I think you both did a fantastic job.
Thank you. No, thank you. That means a lot. And we had to be kind of mindful of that size difference and power difference. You know, it wouldn't have, not that I could do it anyway, because I'm physically not strong enough, but it wouldn't look right if I was, you know, getting these massive moves in on Sean, because the size difference and the storytelling, it wouldn't have worked. So yeah, like I said, I've got massive respect for Sean for that match, and I really enjoyed it, and I hope he really enjoyed it too.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. My family around me enjoyed it, so yeah, it was great. I mean, you mentioned there about difference, and I suppose it comes under a believability to a degree, or the whole suspension of disbelief, I suppose some people word it as, don't they? It's a bit of a pet peeve of mine when I see things that take me out the moment. For example, again, I'll reference AEW because it's the main product I watch. There was a match a few weeks ago where you had the absolute monster, the huge guy, Brian Cage, who is massive, isn't he? Let's be honest. The guy's
absolutely
built.
Huge. Yeah.
And I don't know what they announced him as, 280, 285 or whatever. He's a big old fella. And then you've got Darby Allin, who, again, I like Darby Allin. He's a different type of wrestler. But yeah, I enjoy what he does. And he's my daughter thinks he's fantastic. She adores Darby Allin. And there was a moment in the match where he gave Brian Cage an arm drag. And then there's another moment where he gave Brian Cage like a Flying Head Scissors or a Hurricane Rana. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking it took me out the moment because mm-hmm. I don't see that as being believable purely because of the size difference. However, again, my little girl was cheering Darby Allin on, so it didn't take her out of the moment. So I suppose it is mm-hmm. different perspectives for different ages, potentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I get that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we mentioned AEW there as we're sort of coming to a close here. What sort of wrestling is it that you watch yourself now? I know you say you're more of a fan of going to shows as opposed to mm-hmm. viewing on the television. Now you're an active wrestler yourself. Do mm-hmm. you view wrestling in a different way when you're watching as a fan?
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah, I think I do now. I think I have a lot more appreciation for it. You know, being a trainee myself, I do. Yeah, I definitely have a different view on it, watching it kind of from when I very, very first started watching it as a fan to kind of watching it as a fan now with some wrestling experience. But I do watch AEW and I watch NXT UK every week. And I really enjoy it. I do. I haven't really watched much WWE, but no, AEW and NXT UK, I do really enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the weekly WWE television, I'll be honest with you, at the moment, you're not really missing much, I'll be fair.
But,
but I mean, you know, each for their own, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, okay. And I suppose, finally here now then, what are your hopes for the future, I guess, if we say lockdowns are done and dusted and the whole coronavirus issues are nothing but a distant, horrible memory, where do you want to be heading? What is it you want to be doing in your career in-ring as a Luna Blue?
So I think for me, I would love to be able to build the best version of a Luna Blue that I can. And I know that kind of as an academy, we're really trying to get more trainees at the Evolution Academy. But I'd also love to earn as many main show opportunities as I can in the future, as most of the other trainees would like to do. And I guess for me, because we're trying to get, you know, more trainees at the academy, you know, if you're not sure about wrestling and it's something that, you know, anybody would like to start and kind of give it a go, or if you're, you know, your motives are slightly different and you want to just get fit or build your confidence or make new friends, then please, you know, interact with Evolution on all of our social media platforms, or when lockdown is eventually over and we can come back to training, then, you know, come and book a trial training session with us, because I think that's why I like being with the Evolution Academy so much and the promotion as a whole, is because, you know, it is a really inclusive promotion. Yes, we've got more male trainees, you know, at the moment, but Evolution is open to anyone, regardless of your gender identity, your sexuality, your age, your wrestling experience, whether you've got any at all or none. And kind of how I view it is, you know, you won't know until you try. And we would absolutely love to meet any new trainees as an academy, because, we're always keen to kind of meet new people and get new trainees under our roof.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, you say that you don't know until you try. Mm-hmm. And again, as we covered earlier on, the potential first day nerves, I guess, for want of a better term, or the nerves that you might feel going through the door for the first time. Every person I've spoken to from Evolution mm-hmm. Wrestling has said the same thing as you. Hopefully this people hear these chats I have, and people hear the chat I've had with you today, and mm-hmm. it helps to eliminate a little bit of that.
I hope so. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, I mean, the last thing I normally do is ask for my guests' social medias, but Aluna, you haven't got any right now, have you?
No, I haven't, unfortunately. Well, I guess the best way to, you know, to find out how I'm getting on with the academy is to follow Evolution if you don't already. I think we've got kind of an account for pretty much every platform. I think for me, I don't have any social medias yet, because I haven't had, kind of, I've only had the one main show, and then obviously, you know, lockdown hit us. So yeah, when hopefully I'm able to do some more main shows in the future, that's when I will, yeah, I will start up some social media accounts. So watch this space.
No problem. Well, when it happens and you start setting up your Twitter and your Facebook and all this, I mean, I'm talking like I know what I'm on about. I haven't got a clue. The show's got an Instagram, but my daughter effectively runs it for me because I don't have no idea what I'm doing. So, but when it is all when it is all set up and running, tag myself and the show, so then I can share your social media details there, and I'll reshare the chat we've had again at that time as well, so people can hear it, and hopefully you'll have people sort of start clicking that follow button when those are set up for yourself.
That would be amazing. Thank you very much.
No problem. Okay. You can find me on Twitter at SJPWords. You can find the show at SJP Wrestling Pod. And also, whilst I have people here with me, I have a second show that I do with my partner in crime, Mr. Mags, from the Dingy North, as we call it. It's called Chain Wrestling, and that's at Chain_Wrestling. That's on Facebook and Twitter. That show is very much a lighthearted sort of just two grumpy blokes just being daft, I suppose, for an hour, and hopefully the people find it entertaining. You get to vote on Twitter polls to decide which match we watch week to week, and we link whatever wins to the following week. So effectively, it's chain wrestling because every show links to the next, and in theory it should be a huge chain. So, but yes, by all means, please check out that at Chain_Wrestling and at SJP Wrestling Pod for the two shows I'm on. Aluna, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your evening to come on and talk this crazy world of wrestling with this grumpy old git here. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been brilliant. This has been my first podcast. So yeah, thank you. I genuinely really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, you've been excellent. So again, thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk about your quite unique journey into the world of pro wrestling. And I'd love to have you back on again sometime soon.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.